This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Top Chef for Hap Up. I'm Haley Strong. I'm not here alone. I'm never here alone. They never give me the keys to this car. But Daddy's back. Hey, Kurt.
We give you the keys. You just have a learner's permit, so we have to be in the car with you.
Yeah, like LaTanya has had the passenger seat brake for the last 2 weeks.
Constantly pumping it. Constantly.
Yeah, I'm going to pump it right now because we said that we would not call him Daddy. But that's fine. Go
just
ahead.
Hold off the tongue.
It's rude.
Ironically, when I was gone the last couple of weeks on a trip to London. In college, when I studied in London for a month for an overseas studies program, the nickname I got was Dad. Not Daddy. Very different, but...
Very different.
Very different.
LaTanya, hey. How's it going?
Hey. I'm doing great. I've got on a full face of makeup for a podcast.
You look great. I was going to say, wow, your lipstick looks fantastic.
Thank you. It's a new cranberry color.
I just rolled out of bed today, and this is the same top knot I've been wearing for, I'd say, at least 24 hours straight.
Rocking the knot.
What can I say? But we're not alone today. No. We are not. No, we're joined by a very special guest, Gia Worthy. Welcome to the Top Chef for Hap Up.
OMG. Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. I am a big fan of all of you, as I was saying before we started, and I'm also a big fan of Top Chef in general. So I truly feel like I have made it now.
We're thrilled to have you, mostly for the compliments. I'm not going to lie. We really wanted the self-esteem boost. But we feel like you can add a lot to the discussion as well, besides the compliments. So we're thrilled to have you. Tell us about your Top Chef journey.
So I have been watching Top Chef for a very long time, since I think the first season that I saw in the real time was season 2, which was... I was probably too young to watch that particular season.
I was going to say, you were in first grade.
I was, no, I wasn't in first grade. It was what year did it come out? I was probably 10 or 11 or something, but still far too young to convince my parents that I should be able to stay up late to watch a episode of Top Chef, especially season 2 in particular feels especially wild for that time. But
was that the shaved head season?
Yeah. And okay. I think someone got kicked off was season 3. I can't remember. Right. Somebody got kicked off.
Yeah, you're right. They were wild in the early seasons.
Yeah. But that was when Project Runway, and they had all of the different elimination competition shows were also on there. So I just kind of got into all of them at once. And then I stopped watching for a couple of the middle seasons. And then once I was back in grad school, I kind of, I caught a couple seasons here or there, but I was looking for a show that wasn't related to anything I was writing about, but also that I just enjoyed watching. And the competition shows always have a special place in my heart. So I went through the Top Chef seasons that I hadn't watched from there. And I kind of started my early pandemic watch right before the pandemic. And then the pandemic is kind of when it all accumulated with the All-Star season. So it was not well-timed, because I just would have preferred not to have a pandemic. But yes. hot take, but it was a great build up to the All-Stars season, which is one of my favorite seasons of all time.
We're currently rewatching All-Stars.
It's so good.
We've made it pretty deep into our rewatch now we're there and it's great. Well, welcome. We're so excited to have you. This is a great episode. Honestly, there has not been a dead episode this season. I have been absolutely loving this season. And this was another great episode with some great challenges.
I mean, toast.
Toast. I love toast.
I love
that. You know what? That's not true. I love bread. I'm picky about toast.
I do really enjoy Texas toast.
Me too.
The thick slices, especially when you kind of have like it like colliding with garlic bread, so you have like a garlicky, cheesy Texas toast.
Yeah, and I like the pan fry of Texas toast so that the middle is raw. I want some raw middle toast. Because if I'm toasting toast in the toaster, I want it warm. Mm. If it's more than warm, it's too toast for me.
Haley likes too toast if it's too warm.
If it's like past golden, I'm like, I can't eat it.
Oh, okay.
I'm picky about when things are burnt.
Toast Haley colorism. Like, I got it.
Haley likes it raw in the middle.
I don't know which one was worse. I just thought you guys were
Why
my friends,
both?
But hey Gia, you want to put a real spot on the Top Chef wrap up? Because I have two openings.
She does have the power. No. She does have the power to kick us off.
I will fight to the death with Kurt for this position.
No, they're both gone. No, you are out.
We'll talk after.
All right.
You guys are no longer getting the link sent to you.
Episode 6, I thought we were meeting today. Nope. And back to episode 5.
So we start in the stew room. Evelyn, I think, is crying on the couch. And then Padma comes in. She's like, why didn't you, like, Evelyn's like, why didn't you guys warn me? Padma's here. Padma, you know, tells them, oh, get your rest. We have like a big day tomorrow. And they're like, what does this mean, Padma? Visiting us is never a great sign. But we're doing a brisket challenge. Why wouldn't we? We're in Texas. Brisket.
Visiting Padma is terrifying. I don't like if Padma or Tom are coming into the kitchen,
it's not good
to know what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's normally not good. It's normally like, oh, we've got a twist on top of the twisty twist. And it's just something that's going to make your life miserable for the next 24 to 48 hours.
I mean, it's not as bad as Jeff Probst showing up at camp. I mean, let's be real.
Lord.
I mean, it's often just a, you know, get ready for a challenge sort of thing.
Don't ever compare them to Probst ever again.
I said Padma is not like Probst.
No,
so if anything, it was an anti-comparison.
Pick another host. Not Probst.
Padma is also not like a lot of other hosts.
She's her own.
She's not coming into the kitchen to say that someone's been medically evacuated.
No, she's not.
She's already like top tier.
Not yet.
If somebody gets medically evacuated, they usually let that person tell the other people. Like, remember when Leanne like just waited for them in their like Colorado Airbnb and was like, hey guys, I'm leaving. And they're like, no.
This is a little off topic, but I just saw the most wild episode.
Gia, have you listened to this podcast? It's not on topic.
Just wanted to give like a little warning. I was seeing the most wild episode of old South African Survivor, like in early 2006, where they had someone medically evacuated for like a broken arm. And then they brought him to the tribal council with his sling there to like, basically give his torch to the player that got voted out and be like, this, you can now have my place in the game. It was truly wild. And honestly, they need to bring that to regular Survivor. And I guess if they ever have a medical evacuation at Top Chef, they should do that there.
Yeah,
as well.
Top Chef Survivor.
Top Chef's, I have a couple Top Chef contestants that I just would love to see in a Survivor format.
Me too.
That would just be great.
Tell me, I would love the list.
I have fewer Survivor contestants I'd like to see on Top Chef, probably.
Oh my God. I would love to see like any of the All-Stars cast that from season 17, I would watch in a heartbeat. I need to see Dawn in like her full Olympic form.
Yes. That's what I was thinking. It.
Yes. Evelyn. I love Evelyn. I'm obsessed with her this season. So like any hilarious women that are on Top Chef or on this season or last season, sign them up. Maria from last season.
Maria would be great.
That's why I was sad to see Sarah kicked out of the competition the couples competition. That was last week, right? The episode 4, because they worked in teams of two.
Yes.
She, her, and just Daniel. I thought that she's hilarious, and she's been hilarious in Last Chance Kitchen as well. So, yeah. Anyway,
I'm also a fan of Sarah. She's her confessionals are amazing. Just not even the confessionals, but also just her side commentary during the cooking process. Oh, perfect reality.
I miss her. Already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and by Daniel, I mean Robert. I apologize. I just had to correct that.
You know,
I was wondering. I was gonna. I was just, you know, I just let it slide. I was like, I'm not.
I'm still on the jet lag. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is not the battle I'm choosing to pick today.
Okay, good.
Brisket though. So this is fun. They just go right to the kitchen. They say, "Hey, we're gonna brisket up some stuff." You get 12 hours.
Is this the first time that an elimination challenge has been set up with neither Padma nor Tom? Brooke handled the whole thing.
Yeah, Brooke did the whole thing.
I guess, I don't know. I don't have that kind of memory, but it's possible.
I'm hoping this leads down a road that she's maybe permanently added to the panel. But
oh my God, I was so worried you were going to say that Padma is leaving. I was like, no, I can't handle if you say, oh, hopefully Padma's leaving. No, I refuse to let that woman leave.
No, this is just the fifth add-on. This is our fourth add-on, because it would be with Tom, Gail, Padma, and then adding Brooke.
Fair.
I kind of also thought that because they've had her quite a bit and throughout this season and last season. And I am not complaining about that. I think she feels like a very natural addition to the full panel.
Yeah. And she's like a very serious judge too. Just can be ruthless at times, which I love personally.
But I like that she balances that with the perspective of, like, there was, I believe it was in the confusing football challenge where she was, I can't remember, someone presented something and they're like, oh yeah, this was always, of course, that's what I intended the rice to be broken, or I intended something. And she's like, yeah, no, when we're contestants, you know, as contestants, we will always say, yes, that's exactly what we intended. Mm-hmm. You know, we meant for the hot dogs to not be completely thawed.
And they thought they were getting out of a quick fire, but no. Brooke and Tom, don't they just pop up in the kitchen and say, 3 minutes, Texas toast, let's rumble, make it.
It seemed like that was less done to keep them on their toes, and it was more they just needed that extra time for the smoking, right?
Which I love that they're like, no, we want you to do this right. We're giving you 12 hours. We're giving you the best hands. They prepared all of their meat first. And then did they go to Whole Foods right after? And then we did the quick fire? Is that what happened?
I think they went straight to Whole Foods.
They came back from Whole Foods and the quick fire started.
Right. So they wanted Texas toast and they wanted something interesting.
The only downside to that I see is like, and we talked a little bit about this when I can't remember if it was Buddha had, I think, immunity at some point, and he went like really out there with his dish.
Right.
It was when the entire team of three had immunity. And so it's like the only thing that happened, the only downside of this was that if somebody had immunity from the quick fire, they didn't have a chance to plan something extra risky for the elimination. But it was a small, I didn't mind it.
I felt like the people who would have done something riskier with the immunity already did the risky things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of the people who did didn't do necessarily a risky thing would have done riskier if they had won immunity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, everyone seemed pretty set on what they wanted to do. It was surprising at the very beginning when Brooke said you have to make barbecue, and they were like, what? In Texas? No. What? Why? Just like, because you're in Texas, bitches. Like, what? I don't understand. There's just certain things that you should know. Like, if you come to Chicago again, then you're going to have to, like, make a Chicago-style hot dog or something.
Yeah. Or, like, when they went to Kentucky and they literally had a Kentucky Fried Chicken Challenge, like, sponsored by the KFC.
By the Colonel.
The Colonel himself.
Yeah, Monique, I love Monique. It's just, this whole cast is amazing. But, like, her, the entire episode, she seems very shooketh by the idea that she's going to have to do barbecue for this challenge. Yeah. And just, like, when you audition, I'm assuming you know the area that they're going to be filming in that season, or have like a general idea of what you should prepare for before you head out.
But they don't tell you when you're auditioning, like once they have to at some point tell you you're leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, here's your plane ticket. And then you go on your phone real quick. You look up a brisket recipe and you go, look up biscuits, ready to rumble.
Briskies and I think we got your food truck, briskies and biscuits.
Yay!
Top Chef, feel free to use that as a challenge next season. Briskies and biscuits.
That's the Last Chance Kitchen, like, challenge.
Yeah. Or that's going to be the name of one of the restaurants in restaurants. Yeah. Briskies and biscuits.
Yeah.
But when Monique was making her, am I going to pronounce it wrong? The millefeuille Texas toast, and they started there was like a little note of the Dodo music. I was like, I got a vibe that Monique was just not going to be successful the entire challenge. And I was very surprised she was not eliminated at the end, because I was getting the same shooketh vibe that Gia was.
I was surprised, because I thought I was like, oh, she actually did something pretty creative. And, like, do not get me wrong, Nick's looked delicious. I think he deserved to win. But his was also probably not one of the most creative. Like, you know, BLT is, like, not a new concept.
But I think the issue with Monique's was that it was just so thin. Like, you didn't get toastiness from it.
Yeah, she didn't toast it at all, unlike Buddha, who had a successful millefeuille.
Yeah, Monique's millefeuille was not raw in the middle, Haley. You would not have liked it.
No, no. Evelyn, hers sounded delicious. Lemon cream stuffed Texas toast with spiced pecans and boozy strawberries. I would say sign me up for that, please. And thank you.
Yeah, especially for the boozy.
Yep.
I just personally feel like Evelyn is cooking for me, like, at all times. Like, what would Gia like as Texas toast? And this is what she made, and I would eat it in a heartbeat.
The WWGL challenge. What would Gia like?
Is that not what these contestants are wondering?
It should be.
The Texas toast challenge, I was like, let me try it. The thing is, probably the first challenge where I was like, let me try all of them, please. Like, I'm sure that I would like any food that was cooked, even anything that contained fennel, I would try. But this was the first one where I was like, give me the carbs. Give me all the carbs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jay made a shrimp and lobster toast with pickled vegetables. She actually made her shrimp into like a paste that was on it. Again, sign me up. Like, I don't have to say that for everything, because please sign me up for all of these.
Yeah. Shrimp and lobster toast sounds fantastic. Now I want Chinese.
Ashley made Texas toast pizza roll up with tomato basil sauce. This did feel a little like something I would make.
Okay, so let's start. Let's start here.
Okay.
There's a lot to unpack on this one.
I freaked out immediately, and I was just like, oh no, they let her talk. Like, she is one of the talking heads in the confessional. I was like, Ashley is going down. Like, this is it. This is it. This is it. Battle stations, people. Like, she just... everything just kept getting progressively worse for her throughout the episode. It was so bad to watch.
Yeah, it was tough. It did feel like a slow motion car crash, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I was just
for
like,
both her and Monique, it was like a toss up of like which crash is going to be the crashiest.
Yeah, Ashley had me stressed this entire episode. And yeah, I was the same way. Someone that I feel like I can't help it anymore, but try to analyze the edit as they go through each episodes now. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she started talking about how she was going to throw in, like, because with all this extra time that she's going to add in all of these extra things, yeah. I was like, oh my God, this might be it for our girl. But I don't know. And this wasn't a bottom dish, but I feel like it wasn't Texas toast. Like,
it's a pizza roll.
It's a pizza roll.
It's a literal pizza roll.
It's a Totino's.
I grill toast all the time because I just don't have a toaster because I'm just in the moving process and everything. So I can relate, but I've been unintentionally making Texas toast for some time now, they seemed indifferent to it. Like, they seemed like it was good. I'm sure I would like something like this, but it did not feel like Texas toast to me personally.
Mm-hmm. The ingredients sound great. Doesn't sound like the challenge is what this called for.
It's like making a crispy queso.
Yeah, it's just not quite what we were going
for. You don't do it.
Understand the assignment.
Buddha brought to us strawberry and raspberry mille feuille with whipped ricotta. That sounds great.
Ripped ricotta.
It's absolutely ripped.
I was not that drawn. Even though I said I would try each of these, the ones that were on the sweet versus savory mm-hmm. side, if I'm like leaning into some Texas toast, I'm leaning into savory. Otherwise, it's like a Texas Pop-Tart. I don't know. But it's like, give me the savory ones. I'll find someone at the table who appreciates the sweet.
I would be the one at the table appreciating the sweet.
Okay.
I would want to start with a savory and then end with a sweet.
Mm. Why not? Yeah, let's sequence this.
Like a little
progressive bit Texas toast menu.
But I want both at the same time so I can go back and forth.
Yes. It's a little sample portion of each. But I feel like this was the less fun sounding of the sweet ones. And like, I feel like there weren't really any top sweet Texas toast, but Evelyn sounded more like a fun Texas toast that kind of aligns itself with the challenge.
Agreed.
Nick was the winner of this challenge with his Texas toast BLT with pancetta and cheese. It sounds delicious. Don't get me wrong. I want it. I'm happy for him. I'm happy he finally got a win.
Bacon in the BLT and pancetta. Isn't pancetta like bacon like anyway?
It's bacon like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Bacon-esque.
I mean, I'm not complaining. Double the bacon.
Bacon up that bacon.
Yeah.
But I was just like, Nick is going to be fine because this is a challenge about barbecue and he's from Mississippi. So like, I'm telling you, he's like my sleeper, like win here because it seems like he's been able to kind of do what some other Southern black chefs haven't been able to do on Top Chef, which is to like incorporate all the ingredients of like soul food that you'd be used to cooking, but elevating them to a way that would make the judges want to like have that in a fine dining experience, if that makes any sense.
But so, he busted out the collard greens in the elimination challenge and did not steer into the varied greens that you wanted.
If only he had done mustard!
Just do mustard greens.
Turnip greens. Turnip.
Why? Every single place.
Can I just say, first of all, LaTanya, you need to like guess judge a challenge with where they have to make greens that are not.
I would love that.
Like,
no one would win.
It's like a WWLD. Like, what wouldn't LaTanya do? Challenge where it's like, first of all, I wouldn't steer into collard greens again. There's other kinds. Sorry.
Yeah, pick any other green. That's all I'm asking. It's fine. I'm sure your collard greens are the best that those ones can be.
I do. Can I just say, though?
It sounds like you're banging a gong every time.
Me?
There's like some I think it's the spring on your microphone.
I mean, I'm not saying that's bad. Like, I've always wanted to tell a joke and have a gong go.
It's like Rob has his podcast bell. Haley has her podcast gong.
I should get a podcast gong.
You already have one.
Oh, can I just say for a second, though, how much I love Nick. I agree with you, Latanya. I think he's a good sleeper pick for right now, but I specifically love that Nick is on this season in particular, because mm-hmm. there have been so many challenges where he's been able to use his perspective in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really appreciative of him here. He's like such a barbecue dad. And I love everyone on the screen.
It was so cute.
He seems like so happy to be there and make the food that he makes with his kids and have a good time and try to laugh to a full. Like, I just love Nick. I need him to make it far because he just brings a smile to my face.
He needs to get far.
He really does.
And it's barbecue dad is the perfect way to put it, because in the same way that like the Asian American chefs were able to like help out during the night market challenge, I feel like everyone was like, okay, so is this good? Is this enough rub? Where do I go? What do I do now? Yeah. And Nick was able to just like handle all of that in stride and get and put together really good dishes at the same time. It was so cute.
He just seems like very excited to be there.
He's like a fan of the show.
He is. Yeah. You love to see that kind of contestant.
Yes.
Luke still doesn't seem to know what he's doing here. My poor darling boy.
Giving us nothing.
He made focaccia Texas toast with crawfish, chorizo emulsion, pancetta, and herb salad. Then didn't use any sort of acid. And Brooke and Dom hated it.
This sounded really good. If it had had that acid to it, between the crawfish, the chorizo, the word emulsion, like, can you just say like Texas toast with crawfish and chorizo, pancetta and herb salad, like, or something other than emulsion? That's like a word that does not, to me, is not appetizing, but this
not
actually
when it comes to like crawfish and chorizo.
Yeah. Like the fact that it was just very, very salty and he knew that that was the mistake. Like, he didn't get that acid element on there in time. This is one that, had it gone right, was the one I would have wanted to try the most, I think.
Can I tell you that if Tom took a bite of a dish that I made and called it a salt lick, I would simply cease to be. Like, you wouldn't have to eliminate me. I would just
walk off the set, yeah.
No, like, my clothes would fall to the ground.
You would just evaporate?
Yes. Some true Star Wars shit. Like, I'm telling you, like, I would cease to be. That's all I'm saying. Like, Nick, come on, buddy.
He needs to get it together. I feel so bad. He's like, he doesn't have COVID, so he didn't have COVID, so he didn't get a storyline. And he's not the, he doesn't.
That's Jackson. Latanya said that too.
Yes,
no, she said
he doesn't have COVID. Yes. Yeah. No, I'm still the bad one.
So we didn't have that storyline going for him for a few episodes. He needs something. And because he's still in the competition, but
he worked at NOMA. That's his thing.
Mm. Oh.
I forgot all about that.
That's like his one thing that they're like, we're casting you based on that. He's not.
They won't even talk to him. Like, it's going to be way too easy when it comes, like, if the episode comes up and he's getting eliminated, because it'll be the first time anyone has talked to this guy all season.
What if he wins, though?
Sure.
I need a backstory or something, because this is just... I'm sure he's a very nice man.
I don't know. We got to Google these people before we.
This is true. I made a big assumption.
Yeah, I made some assumptions.
The moment you get the backstory is the moment he's going to leave the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep your eyes on the backstory alert for Luke.
Damar made pizza toast with buffalo mozzarella, white anchovy capers, and Kalamata olives.
It sounds good.
It sounds good.
Although the idea of pizza toast, like, that's, again, I'm not looking for if. It's like, I either want pizza or I want Texas toast, so stop making pizza toast. Mm. But the remove the pizza element from it and everything, actually, it's like a nice, salty, fishy. It's like, it's a little lox and, like, salmon and bagel, lox and capers thing.
Except salmon's good.
Anchovy, not so much?
No, I don't like the anchovy.
This seems really salty to me, too.
It does. The Kalamata olives alone.
Yeah. I have faith that whatever Damar makes is good, because he's just been so impressive the rest of the season. But I was chuckling when he had his little confessional before this challenge. It was like $10,000 for toast. He just looks right into the camera like he's on Abbott Elementary. I love
yeah,
it.
I love Damar so much. I can't wait to talk about the intrigue that happened at the end of the episode between Monique and Damar. The camera notice. I'll talk about it later.
I can't wait. Okay. I'm so excited. Speaking of Monique, she made mille feuille with orange blossom buttercream. And then I think she like went outside and like smoked a quick jet and then came back in and was like glazed mushrooms.
She was glazed and so were the mushrooms. I know that orange blossom isn't mean like orange and citrus.
No, but it is like a floral thing and the buttercream's going to be sweet. And throwing in mushrooms just seems like odd. I feel like you could, if you wanted like a savory element to it, there's other ways to go than mushrooms with cake.
But Haley, these are glazed mushrooms.
Glazed in what?
I don't know. I just thought it might make a difference.
Does that sound good?
It doesn't.
Like the two things I think of when I think
in there with Jay somewhere, like yes.
Like. Two things I think of when I think of glazed, it's mushrooms and Krispy Kreme. And what would go better together than those two things?
Ew.
I know.
Joe was in the top with her mushroom and arugula Texas toasts with espalette and paprika. That sounds great. See, that's how you use mushrooms.
Yeah, correctly.
And then Jackson was also in the top with shrimp toast with balsamic chili jam. I was a little surprised he was in the top, to be honest with you, because I thought his dish looked one of the most boring.
I can't taste, dude. Give him some slack. Can't taste.
Can you see, though? Like, it was just like, he's like, toast, shrimp, sauce. Like, it was like, oh.
He
like,
knows how treat. Those three things taste.
I guess so.
Let him live.
I guess so. I guess you're right.
I was also kind of surprised because it didn't look like at the same level as a lot of these other with as how many things were going into other people's Texas toast, but I guess it was really good.
But it also seemed like if I shifted the toast slightly, all the shrimp would roll off.
This is true. Yes.
Right? Like there was like no binder to the toast.
It would be a hard eat. Like
I would have to hold it like a taco.
Then, like, maybe it was like, a shrimp emulsion like Luke's.
Ew.
Ass.
No.
Anyway, so Nick wins with his Texas toast and he gets immunity in the big old boy challenge.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For the big old boy challenge, again, like we said, we're making brisket. I love this. I love that they had time to like really think about things, really cook things. I would not have liked having to stay up till 12.
Yeah. Which season was it? Was that the Texas season where the one that they had to actually like slow cook it overnight? And they had like, they were staying outside with sleeping bags. Like,
I know. They made them camp.
Wasn't that Charleston or maybe it was multiple seasons?
Yeah. And this one, they weren't there. There was the camping one, but this was one where there's like, they were out on some like deck, and they're sitting in lawn chairs, but also in like in drinking beers and sitting in, but also having like covered blankets and sleeping bags, and but they just had to stay up all night and tend to the meat. Can't remember which season it was, but at least this one they kind of got to set it and forget it. This was like the crock pot of challenges.
Not for all.
Not for all. No.
So the dishes. Create a unique dish that highlights the flavor of your smoked brisket. And so it was like, it was a long con, this challenge. And, you know, some people took the meat out of the smoker and you couldn't taste it till the next day. And they're like, some people were like, oh, this is not quite what I wanted. And those people ended up in the bottom of the challenge. So let's start. They came out in twos. Ashley served her kitchen pepper rub brisket with sweet potato slicks and cream of collard soup. And Jackson served the brisket stuff scarpnock with bread, cornbread crumbles and barbecue sauce. You know, I love a pun. I obviously love that he said barbecue sauce. That's hilarious. Poor Ashley. You know what? And what I think Ashley also like was disserviced by having to go up against or beside Jackson. That was such a good dish. Poor Ashley and her soup. What if it was like a cream of mustard green soup? Do you think it would have gone better?
No. Because it's not supposed to be soupy. Like, I don't like, no.
It looked like a thick soup.
Yeah.
It looked more like a porridge. And like the brisket, it was a huge piece of brisket and it didn't flow to the bottom. It
was so dark. It was black as night when it came out of the smoker. And it just looked like you could use it as a murder weapon. Like it was
actively sad. I didn't realize how big it was until people started like picking it out of the soup to see how big of a chunk it is. Like, oh, girl.
No, yeah, not only was it like big, it was like this thick too.
Yeah, it was very, it was a lot. And I get that the challenge is to make the brisket the star, but I feel like it's not starring in a good way if you're having these huge chunks of it. And like, maybe just breaking it up a little bit would have helped in some way.
I don't know if it was possible to break that up. Like, it started off so hard. Like, she was having trouble cutting into it.
That's tough. And then if they're trying to like cut a piece, they have to like shove it to the bottom of the bowl and basically lose it and try and cut it.
This reminds me, over a couple of weeks ago, I got in the mail, one of my subscription boxes came, and it was a campfire themed. And one of the things that came in it was this dry rub from Spiceology, and it was a smoky honey habanero rub. And so it was supposed to be smoky, spicy, and sweet. And it just hit me that I need to find some brisket and just dust the hell out of it with this. With this rub.
Do you have a smoker in your backyard?
I don't have a backyard. I have an apartment, and I'm not allowed to. I got a barbecue grill. I don't know why I called it a barbecue grill. I got a grill for Christmas that had to be returned because it violates my lease.
Oh no!
So
even in the parking lot?
They don't have a parking lot. We have a parking structure.
Oh, wow. No.
You just need to move, dude. Get out. Get out of there. Go to where they let you smoke your meats.
Is there a meat smoking policy?
There is. Honestly, that's the first thing I ask whenever I'm looking at a new place. I'm just like, what's the meat smoking policy here?
You have to be careful, though, because your smoke detectors are so high up. You don't want to put people that in the
box. That's how I tell when my food's done.
When the smoke detector goes off? Yeah. It usually goes off when I start cooking, so that's not great for me. Because there's so much goo in the bottom of the oven, it just goes off in preheat. We're getting the smoke detector. Our neighbors must think we are the worst cooks alive.
See, for me, it's when I take something out of the oven at the end, and there's just like this huge thing of smoke that just billows out.
No, ours is right off the top, and then the cat will usually come scream at me because he's like, well, what are you doing? Like, there's a loud noise, take care of it. And so it's just not great for any of us involved. Jackson's pasta seemed real tasty.
what was that pasta called again?
Scarpinock.
That was no, so maybe Scarpinocci, but.
Well, I don't see an I on the end.
I double checked that when I typed it. I'm just saying.
If I see two C's, I'm assuming it's hard.
The hard C.
Hard C. Hard double C.
Right? That's my nickname in college.
Okay, and then that's it for the today's episode. I'm done. I quit. I'm done this podcast.
Bang the gong.
Oh, did that work? God.
So, Nick, what did Nick make?
He did.
With his immunity.
Wait, we didn't talk about Jackson's. It sounded delicious. He had a great pun. I want to order this off a menu.
Cornbread crumbles, dude.
Yeah.
I love his commitment to, in his words, bastardizing different.
He was like, I know it's wrong to grind this beautiful brisket.
Yeah.
I'm doing it anyway because I just have to do it.
So
it's definitely a better way of bat. It's a better method than the crispy queso that we had a few. Yes.
My poor Jackson.
At least it worked this way. That time, and I think it did still meet the challenge of making the brisket still the star, but doing it in a very unique way that helped him stand out for this challenge. And it sounded amazing. I love pasta, so yeah. I'm a sucker for a good pasta dish. So it doesn't take much for me to be like, this is clearly a top contender, but this sounded delicious.
And I liked the fact that we had like the pitmaster audience that they had to kind of help serve, and it was nice hearing them that there was a lot of like interest and open-mindedness in terms of new ways of approaching smoked meats. So
I also want to point out there was a crossover with my other podcast on today's episode. We got a nice little not talking head, but we saw the Blood Brothers Barbecue Company talk. Guess what? They showed up in the latest season of The Bachelor.
What?
Yeah, do you watch? You watch The Bachelor, right? Or
no?
Okay, I didn't watch.
You seem so excited. You're like, whoa!
I mean, listen. Some of those. There were a couple good looking folks in the pitmaster section. So
he wasn't on The Bachelor. No. So what happened? What happened was there was a week in Houston. And there is this date where they're walking somewhere and they stumbled upon this like family barbecue. And it was these guys. This was the barbecue they stumbled upon. Oh, and now they're on Top Chef.
I love that for them.
Good job.
I wish they made a little more of a big deal about the guest judge that they had this week.
Yes.
It was Greg, I think it's Gaitlin. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. But he seemed nice. He seemed fun. He was cute. So
he seemed to show up out of nowhere.
Yeah, like make a big deal about him. He's clearly qualified to be here. I want to know more about him.
They didn't really do any setup. It was just kind of like judges are here. Guess we're serving food.
And I think that's something they would also typically announce during the setup for the elimination challenge. So when it was just Brooke setting up the challenge with no context for the judging. So it was a little bit, I think that's normally where we would hear about it. Or they would often like bring in the guest judge to help kick off the barbecue challenge or to the elimination challenge. So, oh well.
Nick and Damar presented next. Nick had a smoked brisket with carrot puree, harissa barbecue sauce, pork neck, and collard green and gremolata. Damar had a smoked brisket with candied yams, braised cabbage, Worcestershire consomme, and jardinera. They didn't love Nick's. They were like, yeah, this guy had immunity. I can feel it. Poor guy.
The smoked brisket and candied yam combo is interesting, and I kind of want to try that.
When Damar was talking about a Worcestershire consomme, I was like blown away. I was like, wow, that sounds delicious. I'd like to try that. Thank you very much.
I do really like candied yams too. And so that with the brisket and all the fixings with it sounded amazing. So I was a little surprised he wasn't in the top three, but then once I heard them react to Evelyn and Buddha's, I had a feeling that might be the case.
Yeah. You get carrots, not carrots. You get, what is it called? Candy yams, kind of like on the same plate as everything else when you, like with like the way that Southern people fix their cooking, unless, you know, like.
Sorry, I am dog sitting. Let me find the mute button. Help, help.
Oh, no, I like the dogs.
I knew there was only a matter of time before Kurt called the dogs on me. And here we are.
Right when we started the Bachelor podcast, Amy's dog would like come on the episode and whine all the time. And Amy would give him treats so that he would stop whining. But then he would whine more. So she'd give him more treats. Oh,
memories. The dog gained 30 pounds that year. But yeah, normally just everything is served on the same plate. I like opted as I got older to put my candied yams separate because I didn't want juice from the greens in them.
Okay. So it wasn't like you don't want the yams touching anything else.
Exactly. I just didn't want the greens. It's the greens. It's always the greens.
Green.
I should have been much quicker on that when I heard the dog outside bark. I'm like, oh, they're going to go.
You're just like, watch it happen. You're like,
I'm like, window wrong. I was in the Excel sheet. Yeah, I was supposed to put that. Anyway.
Luke and Monique were up next. Luke had a brisket with onion barbecue sauce, coriander, and lime stem salad and pickled red onions. Monique was in the bottom with her smoked brisket with onion soubis, confit potatoes, and brioche with bone marrow honey glaze. Now, I would say that these two dishes had like the biggest visual difference. Luke's was really gorgeous, and this was kind of like, okay, like I get what Luke does now. His toppings were really great. Monique's kind of looked like she just threw stuff on the plate and went, goodbye, everyone. That's it. You get my bun, and that's it.
I'm wondering.
I do want that bun.
But it sounds like the bun was like, because it was supposedly was raw in the middle, so I guess that is right up your alley.
That's perfect bun for you.
But it just seemed like a plate that you fix at a buffet. It just like has a couple things and they're not really touching.
Speaking of things that aren't really touching, Damar and Moni. So
I need that to change.
Okay, so the first little bit was when they were all in the kitchen. It's quick fire time. Monique looks concerned. Damar asks if she's okay, people. He asked her about her well-being, and she answered him. They had a conversation about it. I am not the only one who noticed that. We'll talk about the other half soon.
I can't wait.
The producers are on to it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, any other thoughts about these two dishes?
No.
Cool. Great. Jay made Cajun style barbecue brisket, grits, cherry tomato kimchi, and Asian pear relish. And Evelyn, our winner of the challenge, made brisket curry with aromatic rice, pickled vegetables, and burnt end crumble. Like, oh my God, F me up with that burnt end crumble. Oh my God. I love burnt ends. They're not used enough in brisket. I need them. Please just mail them directly to my home. I don't have any barbecue rules.
No,
my neighborhood is fine with my barbecue.
No comment on the pun here. The Cajun. We got three in this lineup. This is the second one.
Yes, it's great. I love it. Great. I love it.
And underreported, if I love blackberries, and I may have said this previously, I love Asian pears. Like blackberries and Asian pears are first.
So good.
Ethan also loves Asian pears. He's like, they're so flavorless and watery. I'm like, what's wrong with
that? I disagree. The ones that I would get at Whole Foods or where would be great. There's no Whole Foods near me in Michigan, so I've not had them in a while. And I found a place near my office that has the Asian pears, and they were flavorless and watery, and I didn't like them. I like the flavorful ones. They're not
maybe,
all flavorless.
Maybe the flavorful ones don't come to, like, Canada as much. The Great White North.
North through Michigan. North through Michigan to Canada.
Any of the border states or provinces.
I feel like these are the two dishes that, as a pair, I would be most
unintended.
I feel like this is the pair that I would be most happy to try both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
I love grits.
Yeah.
I love Cajun style barbecue brisket. Sign me up. Love a pun. Love a barbecue brisket. So it all sounds so good and it sounds like it was very well received. And then Evelyn, I feel like she understood the assignment.
She's the star of my heart, and I'm so thrilled to see her just take this whole challenge.
I love her so much.
Nothing, even the devastating elimination, could not sully the victory of the episode in Evelyn. I am so happy for her. And she made she made Padma love her curry.
Yeah,
so she said that was the best curry she's ever had on Top Chef. Like, congrats to you, Evelyn.
Tom said if this is a dish that you put on a restaurant menu, it becomes a signature dish.
Oh, I love it.
I know sometimes they often say this is the best thing we've ever had, but I kind of believe them in this episode, because it does sound like something that would be a signature in a barbecue restaurant. Like, it's very different, but it's very good and successful. And I feel like it just hits all the points that they wanted to have in the challenge while still staying true to the art of barbecue in Texas.
And I don't remember Evelyn doing the typical, well, I'm making curry, but I'm worried what Padma's going to think about. Like, it didn't even connect in my mind that she was making curry and that was a Padma thing. And so when they brought it up during the judges table, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's, you know what? Glad she embraced it. Glad she knocked it out of the park. Cause this could have been one of those five hole challenges where it's the one that she's supposed to do really good at and she doesn't do good at all. And I was glad to see that she actually, the fact that this should have been in her wheelhouse, it was in her wheelhouse and she slayed it. So that was
awesome. And like everyone basically like, this is dramatic, but they didn't actually do this, but they like clapped when she came out and she was like, to my fans, like, hello. They're all like excited that she had such a good dish.
Yeah. I'm excited about Evelyn and her upward trajectory.
Things are only going to go up. We said that about Ashley last week.
Hey,
don't.
Hey. Hey. Hey, what's up?
Buddha had the barbecue beef bourguignon with barbecue. The
bourguignon.
The bourguignon?
Bourguignon.
Bourguignon.
I did take many years of French.
It is bourguignon.
I know.
Is it? Do you?
I think so. Okay. I took a lot of French. Doesn't mean I'm good.
I took French in high school. Yeah. All I remember is how to say certain foods.
Anyway. Barbecue, beef fat, potato croquette, onion jam, and beet petals. Now, this was like the most beautiful dish I've ever seen. Wow, this blew me away.
And like nobody had seen beet petals before. I remember Brooke was like, how come I've never seen this and I'm going to do this all the time now.
She was like, I'm pissed off. I've not heard this. That's our sweet darling Brooke. And Joe made brisket pappardelle with harissa cabbage and corn. Was that a better pronunciation?
I didn't take Italian. I took French.
It was perfect.
Thank you. At least somebody has my back here.
I'm an eighth Italian, so I feel like
you just get to say what is and isn't I feel Italian. Like that,
yes. So I have some experience.
Joe was in the bottom. This was tough for her. They said it didn't feel like a brisket dish. Again, like I think she was like disserviced a little bit by going up against Buddha.
It can't be
going
easy.
Up with Buddha.
Yeah, it can't be easy when they absolutely love a dish, and one of the judges is like, I need to bring this into my life and think about it more, and then it's just like, and here's my cabbage.
Yeah, they like basically threw the pappardelle on the floor and was like, I'm not eating this when I have this to look at.
I feel like it also doesn't help her that they had another pasta dish earlier that ended up being one of the best of the day. So I think it really, Joe had a lot working against her in terms of what the other chefs were delivering.
Yeah. Poor Joe. But I never felt like Joe was actually in the running to go home here.
No.
No. I feel like it was really between Monique and Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it ended up being Ashley going home here. And I was a little surprised. I did kind of think it was going to be Monique. I would have been devastated to lose any of them, honestly. Like, I'm at a point where I can't lose anyone and be like, oh, okay, about it.
I drew a sad face crying in my notebook.
Like, I was worried for you. I was definitely worried for you.
So I've been listening to your past episodes as well. And like LaTanya, I too was rooting for Ashley. So it was very sad that I knew I was coming on the podcast to talk about her departure from the main competition.
I know.
And I'm very happy we got an Evelyn win again, but it just ended on a sad note with that.
It was so sad. But during the elimination, people, okay, this is important. Obviously, okay, Monique is at the bottom. And it's very taxing on all of us, but none more than our sweet, sweet precious, who loves Monique with all of his heart, Damar. Now, first of all, there's like a tense moment during when the judges are asking questions about her dish. And the camera, once looking at her, just pans over to Damar and does a close up. And he looks so concerned. Like, he looked like he was about to cry. It was the sweetest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And the camera recognized what was going on. This wasn't just me making this up in my mind.
Watch I feel again. Like they did this with Sarah and Shota a lot last year, too. Yes. Like, anytime one of them were mentioned, they would pan to the other.
And so I want them to date, too.
I support your theory.
Thank you. I was just very excited
the
about it. I
thought the work is impressive.
Thank you. I am a detective. I thought that the judges kind of went off at this judge's table. Like, it was just a lot more harsh than I was expecting it to be.
Than it needed to be for episode 5. Yeah. With, like, all really actually good food happening.
It's just like, calm down, y'all. Like, what happened between, like, the car ride to the where you're filming this and when you had the brisket? What happened?
God, I'm hungry. I could go for some brisket. Yeah. I just eat dinner. Why am I hungry? I'm not. I just want brisket. That's the emotion I'm feeling, is just briskety.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Anyway, we say goodbye to Ashley. But don't worry. This isn't the last we see of Ashley. Because we get Last Chance Kitchen.
This is why you should watch Last Chance Kitchen, people. Because you might think you're ending your night drawing sad faces in your notebook next to Ashley's name. But then things turn around.
Better have drawn that in pencil.
I just crossed it out.
Yeah, that works too. That works too. Erasers don't really work, do they? Let's be real.
So, Kurt, what happened in Last Chance Kitchen?
I didn't really see how this tied back to why Ashley had been eliminated.
Didn't,
but it didn't. Okay. Thank you for the clarification. But she had to face Sarah and Leah in Last Chance Kitchen. They had 3 minutes to shop. And then they just had to use what they picked. And even with, I believe, Sam in the peanut gallery saying, be sure to get your salt and pepper. Lee did not get her salt and pepper. And so there was kind of going to be 2 rounds. They had 3 minutes. They had more than 3 minutes to cook, luckily. But Sarah and Ashley advanced to the next round. Leah is now out of the competition, largely because she had no salt and pepper to work with, is what it sounded like. But then for the second part of the competition between Sarah and Ashley, they had to swap shopping baskets. Now, in the first part of the competition, I believe it was Ashley had picked up some okra. And the only thing we know about okra is that Tom does not like okra, even though
hated it.
Even though every time the past 10 seasons, maybe past 5 seasons, Tom's been cooked okra, he's actually liked the okra.
Yeah, I think Tom is just making this up at this point. Like, he's got to keep the legend alive. Yeah. Like, I don't like okra. Like, I'm going to be the like big ogre when it comes to okra. And then he's like, oh, this is actually great.
The okra.
The okra. That okra. Yeah. The so then they swap. And Sarah has Ashley's okra. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this. And she's like, Ashley, she's asking Ashley a lot of questions about okra. And Ashley's like, yeah, no, that would make it slimy. No, that would also make it slimy. And that would also make it slimy, which is really Tom's issue with okra, is the sliminess. But in the final competition between Sarah and Ashley, Sarah makes okra misti with polenta and fried onion, whereas Ashley makes salmon tartare with spiced yogurt, crispy skin, fennel stock, grated apple, and walnut. So Ashley ends up winning and returns to the competition next week. Usually, I want to say that with Last Chance Kitchen returnees, we don't find out until the start of the actual episode next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's like the door, what are those called? The saloon doors opening and like Joe Flamm coming in with his like...
Or, and it maybe it's the second, maybe it's the second reentry where sometimes they'll even have the contestants still in the game.
Yes. Will they finish it? Will they like finish it on the episode almost?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But Sarah is not out of the competition. She is still in Last Chance Kitchen. So Leo is eliminated. And so next week, whoever gets eliminated will face Sarah in LCK.
I like that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
What I don't like though is that they clear out the peanut gallery so that Leah and Stephanie and Daniel. Robert. Daniel, yeah, sorry. Robert, aka Daniel. Hernandez. That's where I got the Hernandez. Sorry.
Nope.
Nope. That's not a thing. yeah. So that's how the episode ended. Should we talk about our food?
Congratulations to Ashley coming back. Oh, yeah, great episode. I enjoyed this. That's satisfying with Ashley not really leaving. She's coming back. That's great. Gio, what did you eat this week?
So glad you asked. So I've been on a journey trying. I feel like I do this every time Top Chef comes up because I want to kind of like revamp what I'm eating and everything. But last Sunday, I went to this vintage tea shop with my friend.
I saw photos and I was like, ooh, I want to go for high tea. I was like looking up reservations for high tea around me because
I felt so fancy and I highly recommend it. We're going to go again because it was just so much fun. But so I tried making some little sandwiches too. Like I made like cucumber sandwiches and I got some smoked salmon to make like little tea sandwiches that would help me with my new job. It's really difficult to have multiple days where you can spend a lot of time making meals. So I usually try to go with something that will last me a couple of days or that would be really easy to prep and make in a short amount of time. But then I also was very inspired by Evelyn's chicken salad from the Asian market. So I actually made some of my own very basic chicken salad that lasted me for a couple days and it was much appreciated. And for my first time making chicken salad, it actually came out pretty good. So I was quite proud of myself. And as someone that always has an ample supply of desserts in their fridge, I had this really nice tiramisu and a chocolate truffle cake. Like they get served. There's a grocery store near my house that sells them in like little single serving portions. So I just bought a couple of those to just have something sweet to look forward to at the end of the day.
Sounds awesome.
It's been fun. It's been a fun time. I live by myself now, so I can kind of like experiment with whatever fun foods that catch my eye at the moment and can kind of just do what I want without the judgment of parents or siblings around, which has been quite nice.
<It's always good.
laughs> But then this episode, so I just picked up some grits when I went grocery shopping today because the amount of grits talk that has been going on this episode made me very hungry for them. So I was very excited about it.
Yeah, grits are delicious.
I love grits. They're my favorite. They're one of my favorite breakfast staples. And for me and my family, we usually have them with some of my favorite breakfasts. So I was very excited to get back on the grits train this week.
I don't think I've ever tried them.
They're so good. I feel like when my dad does it, he buys like the actual grits that take a while to make because and like serves it for a big portion. Since I am just cooking for myself most of the time, I will buy the instant grits that take like all of 5 minutes to make and put together. But they're still enjoyable. I love grits.
I couldn't help thinking about the movie My Cousin Vinny whenever grit was mentioned. No self-respecting Southerner does anything with instant grits.
I'm a northerner. I'm a Yankee. So
it's okay. I just think it's hilarious that grits and the time it takes to cook grits became evidence in a murder trial. So.
Well, Tanya, what'd you eat this week?
Let's see. I had a really good Brussels sprout salad, which I thought was delicious. It had some cranberries, some like candied walnut action, a little bit of goat cheese in there as well, with a really good dressing. So that was nice.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I had kimchi for the first time this week.
Wow.
Yeah. My stomach hates it. So that's not going to happen again.
Oh, no.
It's just like, oh, you want to introduce cabbage into my system. Okay. Yeah. I'll show you.
Wow. Not just spicy cabbage.
Yeah.
Fermented spicy cabbage.
Fermented spicy cabbage. I was just like, what was I thinking?
Which aspect of the kimchi was it that you didn't like system?
I think that it happened in waves. So it started with
each wave was a different issue.
Yeah. It started with the fact that it was fermented. And then it went to the fact that it was spicy. And then it was just like, okay, and it's cabbage. So we're not doing this again. Great. I've had a lot of grilled asparagus this week just because I had a taste for some hurt. Why? What?
No, there's a reason they made me just chuckle. Continue as you were.
And some really good stuffed mushrooms too. But then I had like a perfectly roasted chicken as well. Nice. This week, which was very, very good. So like very basic for like me, honestly. Like I didn't do a lot of like fun things. I didn't have much of an appetite this weekend or this week. So I just did a couple things here and there.
Kurt, give us some London highlights.
Oh boy. This would be an entire episode. So I'll try to
I know. So we'll save the rest until next week, but give us like a couple that you're like, yeah, these were the best.
I visited Borough Market, which is my favorite place to visit whenever I go to London. I was like a 15-minute walk from there. So just food. One of my friends that lives in London, Derek, he a listener of the podcast, so shout out to Derek. He felt bad the last time that we hung out in London. We had shitty pub nachos, and so he wanted to go to like a nice restaurant, especially because he considers me a foodie because I podcast about this. That's hilarious. So we went to this great like modern British restaurant in Fitzrovia called Clipstone. That I went to check out the menu to see if I could find what it was that I had, and it looks like their menu's changed since I was there, last week. But I had for the main course, I had this chicken that was rolled up and then wrapped in ham, and it was then covered with sage, parsley root, and oyster mushrooms. Extremely good. If you checked out the notes, for the episode, I put a couple words there. So you remember there was a few weeks ago.
I saw Andrea in halloumi and I was like, I wonder what these tiny little notes are about.
Yeah. Just so I remember Andouja is like everywhere in London, as is halloumi. Like since last time I was there 3 years ago, it just is like everywhere is serving something with Andouja or halloumi. I'd say the most interesting place I went, and I'll talk about other stuff next time. There was a cheese restaurant, a cheese bar that went into where a sushi bar had been. And it was one of those conveyor belt sushi bars. And so they actually served like cheese on the sushi conveyor belt. So it would come around and there'd be like the little glass dome with a number on it. And you quickly look at your menu and say 18. Okay. This is the halloumi or this is the garlic brie. And there's a little accompaniment with it. And like, maybe like 85% of it was cheese and 15% of it was like meats, and you had your own little thing of crackers. So it was just like conveyor belt sushi if you've ever been to one of those places, but with a cheese bar. It was called Pick and Cheese, and it was near in the Covent Garden area. So highly recommend checking that out along with Borough Market and Clipstone if anybody is going to London in the near future.
A conveyor belt of cheese is my dream. Like, that's all I've ever wanted.
It sounds like how I die.
Yeah. Just nonstop eating it. I got an accidental meal subscription box this week. Went for a walk and I saw a box on my front porch and realized I had forgot to skip this week. Huh. Whoops. Didn't get to pick the recipes. Luckily for me, they were delicious. We got like cornmeal crusted chicken with potatoes. And tonight we had tacos, which were delicious. And then what else did we have? Like a spicy Thai pork bowl, which was good. We went out for breakfast today and I got waffles with lots of fresh fruit. And that was excellent. I had a great time eating that. I did make a cake this week, a lemon cake. It looked nice. I overbaked it.
But was it cake?
It was it was closer to bread, if I'm being honest with you. It wasn't shaped like anything weird, but it was almost a bread. I will say that. But yeah, that was kind of it for me this week. Wonderful. Gia, thank you for joining us. This was great.
Thank you so much. It's honestly been such a dream to come on and talk with all of you. I'm big fans of all of you. And it's just been a great time. I had a wonderful time here with all of you.
Please come back.
Yeah.
Join us again.
And
say when.
And where can people find you on the internet if they want to hear more from you?
Well, if you want to hear my random goings on, my shenanigans about reality TV, I recommend following my Twitter page, Classically Gia. I'm a fun follow, I like to think.
True, but definitely.
Especially if you're a fan of like Survivor or Big Brother or any of the other competition shows. Like
Joy, having joy in your life.
Yes, if you like joy in your life, I recommend following me. But I always put out there that, you know, if you are a fan of Survivor, follow the Survivor Diversity Campaign page. We have a lot of great content. We're on the second season with CBS's new diversity initiative. So it's been a really great time and a great time to highlight a lot of contestants of color or from different walks of life. And it's just been a great time. And I really recommend it for anyone that is a fan of the show. And on Silent Podcast, I am doing the recaps for Survivor 42 and also Top Chef 19. So if you can't get enough from this podcast and you just need more Top Chef in your life, I recommend looking there for even more of me and more of Top Chef.
More Top Chef content. I know you want it. You listen to this podcast. You got to the end of this podcast. Don't just hit play on Gia's. Like, it's that easy.
Yeah, if you people don't subscribe to her Twitter page, I'm gonna burn this virtual place to the ground.
Yeah, like you should do that. It's an excellent Twitter follow. I think Gia's underplaying how great of a Twitter follow she is.
Yeah, very much so. Like all the greats really. They underplay it.
Kurt, where are you on the internet these days?
I am at Kurt Clark with two C's at the beginning of each of those words. you find me there, Instagram, Twitter, Untapped, Twitch, I think Facebook. There's not many Kirk Clarks out there, so I get to take them all.
I'm surprised. That seems to be a more popular
name. Common.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Haley Strongs out there. I definitely have the best SEO out of all of them, though.
Nice.
LaTanya.
There's apparently at least one other LaTanya Starks, and I want to kick her ass. I'm just like, how am I two? Are you kidding?
You're number one in our hearts.
Thank you. So you can follow me at LK Starks. I am, as every week, doing the Atlanta podcast on Post Show Recaps. The season has just begun. We're on episode 3 of season 3. Mari and I just talked about it for a good amount of time. An hour is a good amount of time for like a 40-minute episode of television. So you can send us your feedback for that show on to Atlanta at postshowrecaps.com. Accidentally give out my email address. I mean, I didn't. Like, it's nothing like that, but it was so close that you have no idea. I'm so tired.
Don't we have an email address? I forgot about that. If you have long form questions about Top Chef, I don't remember what the other email address is, but you can email them to bachelorrehapup@gmail.com and I'll answer it.
Yeah, shout at us on the Discord. I've been having some fun talking with people there. And then you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, which I had to add the K because there's another. I could just be L Starks. Just couldn't. Another one. So I'll find her.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. I don't know. What else am I up to? I did a podcast. I did a podcast last week. It's probably not coming out for 3 to 4 months. So we'll see it then. I'm kicking around, you know, whatever. It's fine. Okay. Bye. Love you. Pack your knives. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Everyone, I'm waving. No one can see me.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.